You're listening to Apricity by Millie Wilcox. Episode 2, Sketchy. Stephanie found a sunny spot and sat down on the park bench. She took a deep breath. She closed her eyes for a minute and let the sun on her face melt away some of her stress. She thought she might break. She didn't feel strong enough to keep going, but she didn't have a choice. She had to be strong, so that's what she did. Her parents had begged her to move in with them when Jason passed. They definitely had room for everyone, but Stephanie didn't think it was the right thing to move the kids away from their schools and friends and the only home most of them have ever known. In addition, she knew if she moved in with them, she would lose a part of herself. She would lose her sense of autonomy. Her parents always meant well, but they had such a desire to help people, and she was worried they would help her too much, especially her dad. He had the biggest heart. Stephanie worried that she might get too comfortable with them taking care of her and forget to be herself. In this sense, she was glad they lived 2 hours away. They were close enough that they would come running when she needed them, but far enough away that she could hold on to her independence and identity throughout this difficult time. Stephanie rubbed her eyes and then took a good look around the playground. Matthew and Caleb were finally happy for a moment. Caleb had found the slide and Matthew was standing on the bottom rope of the tower bouncing. There were a few other parents and kids at the park. There was one sketchy-looking guy. He was middle-aged with a dark beard. He was wearing a hoodie and was facing mostly away from Stephanie with his hands in his pockets. She watched him for a moment. A boy with sandy-colored hair ran up to him. The man bent down and spoke gently to the boy, and then the boy ran to play again. Stephanie realized he was just another parent and felt a little bad for thinking he looked sketchy. "You can't be too careful," she thought. She pulled out her phone and turned on a lecture from her organic chemistry class. She only put in one earbud so she could keep an eye on the boys. After a little while, though, she gave up. She was either paying attention to the boys and missing information from the lecture, or she was drawn into the lecture and the boys could totally disappear and she wouldn't even know it. Not to mention, she wanted to take notes. She put her phone and earbuds in her pocket and then leaned on the bench, stretching out her legs. A little girl with busy blonde curls and rosy cheeks walked over to her. She was not much older than a year. She was wearing a pink onesie that was too small. It was left unsnapped and hanging out of her pants. "Hi," Stephanie sat up and smiled at her. The girl put out her fist. She had something in her hand. Stephanie opened her hand and the little girl put a handful of wood chips in it. Then she smiled, scooped up another handful and put it into Stephanie's hand. "Thank you," Stephanie said. The dad with the beard came up behind the little girl.
"I'm sorry,"
he said apologetically. As soon as he spoke, Stephanie recognized him. His voice was very familiar. She listened to it nearly every day for an hour at a time. He was her physics instructor, Professor Taylor. She immediately felt bad for thinking he looked sketchy. But in all fairness, he did look much less reputable in a hoodie than he did in a button-up shirt. "It's fine. I love wood chips. They're my favorite," Stephanie said. Professor Taylor laughed, and the little girl put another scoop of wood chips in Stephanie's hand. "She's adorable," Stephanie said.
"Yeah, good thing she's got that going for her,"
Professor Taylor responded. Stephanie accidentally noticed what color his eyes were. They were hazel. "How old are your kids?" Stephanie asked.
"Amara is 1.5, and my son, Caden, is 7.
He answered. The little sandy-haired boy ran over to where they were.
"Dad, I have school party."
"Caden, I thought you went right before we left,"
Professor Taylor said to the little boy. The boy shrugged, so Professor Taylor started looking around. "It's down the hill," Stephanie said. "It's kind of a hike. You'll want shoes on. There's a patch of prickly weeds in the grass around it." Professor Taylor looked at Amara's feet.
"Amara, why did you take off your shoes?"
he asked exasperatedly. The girl just giggled and put another handful of wood chips into Stephanie's hand.
"Dad, now! I have to go now!"
Professor Taylor frantically looked around the playground.
"Have you seen a pair of pink shoes?"
he asked Stephanie. Stephanie stood up and started to look around. "No, I don't see them."
"Dad!"
Caden insisted. Then he started heading down the hill without him. Professor Taylor began to scoop up Amara, but she resisted. She went limp and slid out of his arms. He reached for her again as she dodged him, giggling. "I can watch her while you take him," Stephanie offered. Professor Taylor glanced at Caden, who was halfway down the hill by now.
Thanks,
he said, and he turned and ran down the hill after Caden. Caleb ran over.
Mom, I'm hungry.
Stephanie's kids thought parks were for picnics, so before they left, she had grabbed a handful of Go-Gurts and cheese crackers and threw them into her backpack. She spread out the tablecloth on the grass. Caleb sat down. As soon as Amara saw the food, she sat down contentedly and opened and closed her hand to ask for some.
Peppermint!
Matthew shouted and ran over to sit down, too.
Peppermint!
He said. When Professor Taylor and Caden finally returned, everyone was sitting on the tablecloth eating Go-Gurts.
I'm sorry that took so long. Thank you for watching Amara for me, Stephanie.
Stephanie was surprised he knew her name. She must have shown it on her face because Professor Taylor explained.
You're in Physics 1100, right?
Yeah, I'm impressed you remembered me since I rarely attend, Stephanie replied. Professor Taylor laughed.
Yeah, well, I'm terrible with names. I looked you up while Caden was taking forever in the bathroom.
Stephanie blushed. Professor Taylor glanced down at Amara.
Oh, I'm sorry she's eating all your food.
It's fine. I brought extra. She's not allergic to anything, is she?
No, just dairy. She's deathly allergic to dairy.
Stephanie gasped. Professor Taylor started laughing.
I'm just kidding. She's not allergic to anything.
Stephanie took a breath of relief. Then she glared at him. He was still laughing.
I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to give you a heart attack.
Professor Taylor's phone rang. He turned around to answer it.
Hey, Mom.
Caden sat down on the tablecloth.
Can I have a Go-Gurt?
You sure can. You're not allergic to milk, are you?
Nope, just Amara.
Wait, she really is? Stephanie asked. Amara had just started on her third Go-Gurt. Caden shrugged, so she opened the Go-Gurt and handed it to him. Stephanie didn't mean to eavesdrop on Professor Taylor's call, but she couldn't help hear what he was saying.
Isn't that like 2 weeks early? Well, is everything okay? Oh, that's good. So I guess that means you're driving down there today, then. No, it's fine. I can find someone else to watch them. No, Jody rolled her ankle last week. Besides, she has made it pretty clear that she does not want to watch my little hellions anymore. It's fine.
Professor Taylor rubbed his forehead.
I'll find someone. Kay, tell Paige congratulations. I'll talk to you later. Love you too. Bye.
Professor Taylor looked pretty agitated as he turned back around.
Caden, don't eat their food,
he snapped. It's fine, really. I seriously don't mind, Stephanie answered.
You must be feeling better. I should have sent you to school today,
Professor Taylor said to Caden as he rubbed his forehead again. Here, Stephanie said, handing him a Go-Gurt. You look like you could use a Go-Gurt, she smiled. It's a Paw Patrol one, she said with fake excitement. He gave her a tired look and then took the Go-Gurt and sat down on the opposite end of the bench from Stephanie and opened it.
Must be hard raising six kids alone,
he said as he slurped some yogurt from the tube. She furrowed her brow at him.
Sorry, I didn't mean to pry. It's just, you're not wearing a ring,
he explained. Stephanie looked down at her hand. She usually still wore her ring, but a couple of days ago she was trying to revive some Play-Doh by kneading water into it. She took it off so she didn't get her ring all gunky. Oh, I must have forgotten to put it back on, she said to herself. Then she said to Professor Taylor, how did you know I had six kids?
You told me, on the first day of class.
Oh, yeah. I thought you said you didn't remember me.
I said I didn't remember your name.
Fair. There was an awkward silence. Stephanie guessed Professor Taylor was feeling stupid about the comment on her ring, so she said, but, yeah, it's really hard raising six kids alone. It sucks, really. He looked confused. She glanced at his hand. He did have a ring. This conversation was getting really awkward. She figured she had to explain herself now, since she had commented that she had forgotten to put her ring back on. He probably thought she was a loony. Yeah, since my husband died in June, it's been really hard.
He raised his eyebrows at her.
Then he let out a short laugh like something was funny. She had told him that her husband had died, and he had laughed at her. What a jerk. He rubbed his forehead.
I get it. Well, not the six kids. I only have the two, but I get the single parent thing.
Was he hitting on her? He was totally making this up. He was clearly wearing a wedding ring. Hmm, she said, unbelieving. He could apparently tell she didn't buy it. He pursed his lips, but didn't look like he wanted to argue.
Caden, come on. It's time to go.
He stood up and shoved his Go-Gurt wrapper in his pocket. Caden stood up.
That's real that their dad died at all, Mom died.
Caden remarked.
Yeah, it's weird.
Professor Taylor said, sounding agitated.
Go find your sister's shoes.
He bent down and scooped Amara off the tablecloth. This time, he made sure to get a good grip on her upper arm, so when she went limp, he was prepared and she didn't slip away.
Come on, you've eaten enough of their food,
he said to Amara as he started walking back towards the playground. Stephanie felt terrible that she had not believed him. Hey, she called after him. He turned around and looked at her tiredly. Do you need someone to watch your kids tonight?
Yeah, Dad, she can watch us.
No, it's fine.
Professor Taylor turned to Caden.
Sister King can watch you.
Dad, Sister King is mean.
She's not mean.
Yeah, she is. She yelled at Amara and spanked her.
She spanked Amara? Really? Why didn't you tell me that before?
Professor Taylor looked surprised.
I did when you were doing your work on your computer.
Now Professor Taylor looked really stressed and agitated. Stephanie spoke up. I really don't mind watching them. Honestly, it would be nice to do something for someone else for a change. Everyone just keeps trying to do things for me and won't let me do anything for anyone else. It's selfish, really, for me to want to watch them. I need it for myself. He sort of glared at her. Perhaps he felt the same way. Look, Stephanie continued, the thing is, life's not very fair. It's not fair to lose a spouse. Not very many people understand how truly terrible that is. Instead of sitting around pouting about how unfair life is, well, all I can do about it is try to alleviate unfairness within my sphere of influence. Professor Taylor looked at her in surprise. He rubbed his face.
Elder Renlund said that,
he muttered. Stephanie nodded. She was quite surprised he knew the reference. Infuriating unfairness. It was a good talk. Professor Taylor nodded in agreement, and then for just a moment, he looked her in the eyes. It was as if he could see into her soul. He shook his head and snapped out of it. What's your number, so I can text you my address? Stephanie asked. Professor Taylor shook his head again, but Caden answered.
555-1785.
No, Caden.
Professor Taylor scolded, but Stephanie was already entering his number into her phone. She typed her address and hit send. Then she texted, What time should I plan on you? Professor Taylor spoke.
Don't you need to go to class?
I never go to class. It's actually really nice, because then I can listen to the lectures at 1.5 speed, she quipped. Professor Taylor laughed.
Are you saying I talk too slow?
Stephanie smiled, just when I have to squish all my schoolwork into a few Paw Patrol episodes. He smiled and shook his head, but didn't say anything else. He turned and continued scouring the playground for Amara's shoes. Stephanie put her hand up to shield her eyes from the sun as she looked around the playground. Over by a big tree, something pink was barely visible. She walked over. It was a tiny pair of pink sneakers that were buried under a pile of wood chips. Stephanie laughed and picked them up, shaking the wood chips out of them. She walked over to Professor Taylor. He was preoccupied with looking for the shoes. Professor Taylor, she said awkwardly. He turned around. She handed him the shoes.
Thanks.
You're welcome, Stephanie replied.
It's Chris,
he said as he knelt down to put Amara's shoes on her.
I mean, everyone just calls me Chris.
Oh, okay. See you later, Chris, Stephanie said.
Yeah, see ya.
Stephanie turned to walk back to her picnic spot and started cleaning up. She was headed over to the trash can with a handful of Go-Gurt wrappers when Chris walked past on the way to his car. Hey, Chris, Stephanie called after him. He turned.
Yeah?
Don't forget to hit record. He gave her a thumbs up. What a dork, she thought. A cute dork.